This is Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week on how to live well. Shine On is heard all over the world as a podcast, but it's heard first on the radio in New York's Hudson Valley. Hi, it's Casey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shine On. Today, we are going to tap together. We are going to tap for love and for peace of mind. We're brought to you by Nissan of Yorktown Heights. Visit nissanofyorktownheights.com. My guest is Robert L. Bray, PhD. He's a social worker, he's a mental health counselor, and he's a teacher of TFT, Thought Field Therapy. You've heard of tapping for sure. Well, today you're going to learn the origins of tapping and the original method of tapping, the Callahan method. We have so much to learn from Robert Bray, and he took the time to learn about us too, listening to a few Shine On podcasts before he joined the show to teach us about TFT.
Thought Field Therapy. And Thought Field Therapy is the original tapping therapy. And by tapping, we're talking about stimulating meridian treatment points in specific order to alleviate overwhelming emotional distress. It was developed by Dr. Roger Callahan, a psychologist who got interested when a psychiatrist friend of his showed him how to do kinesiology muscle testing. And he then learned how to do that, one of the few non-chiropractors ever to take the course, and we're talking 30 years ago, and became aware that there's a way to communicate with the person that's entirely different than what we're taught in psychology, what we're taught in how to help people. I guess that's where I start when I teach people about it, is to say simply that through kinesiology muscle testing, that's you would have somebody hold their hand out, lay your hand on top of it, have them say something or focus on something and test their strength. Then they would test something else and it might go weak. So you have the difference between strong and weak. It's binary yes-no kind of communication. But the communication is not coming from the cognitive part of the person. It's coming from the body, or what he called the thought field, and that was the control mechanism. His first discovery was simply by stimulating these meridian treatment points, you can change how a person responds to different thought fields or focuses or conditions. And then he began to develop a set of protocols that allowed him, through muscle testing, to find precise tapping pattern. There's 14 different meridians, and so you have to tap the pattern in the right order. And what he found was it was pretty straightforward, that the body would tell you, if you're upset about this, tap in this order, and that upset will calm down. It's a way that we can activate the parasympathetic in a way that doesn't require us thinking or in a cognitive sense, but in a directed way. And then out of that, he developed these patterns of tapping, and then people took that and created, the most common one is EFT, Emotional Freedoms Technique. The developer of that was a student of Roger's who worked with him for 3 years. That guy went a different direction because he wasn't a psychologist. He was a businessman, a communicator, good social media. But that's why you hear something called emotional freedom techniques. When people talk about that and do that, they're essentially doing a derivative of Dr. Callahan's work. What's important about this is you have to understand that right now, energy psychology, which is a broader term for this idea of connecting to energy and operating in that way, is the most researched approach to dealing with trauma there is. And it's evidence-based in a sense that we can show that through studies, through meta-analysis, that it is the most effective way to eliminate overwhelming traumatic triggers.
You've done this with first responders.
I've done this with first responders. I'm a licensed clinical social worker who's been doing crisis intervention, counseling, and psychotherapy for, well, I'm 72 now, so I've been doing it since I was 20 in some form or another. It works with a lot of different folks. It's just not with trauma either. You can use it to eliminate early childhood abuse that you're still trying to figure out, how do I stop doing that? I listened to some of your podcasts. You were talking about changing patterns. Well, this stuff works very well in that system. I've been trained in a lot of different systems over the years. There's a place in any work that you do with people for thought field therapy. So I'm on the board of directors of an organization called the Association for Comprehensive Energy Psychology. And we have a wonderful website where we list all 250 of the articles that have been published about energy psychology and how effective it is. You just go to energypsych.org.
So when we're tapping, what are we doing? Are we moving stuck energy? Are we moving stuck thoughts? What's happening?
When we're tapping, we're physically tapping. That's physical energy. That physical energy, when you tap on a specific area, is turned into biological energy, cellular energy, and that creates electrical energy, because as you tap on it, you change the polarity within the cell, the ions on one side of the wall, the other. And that electrical energy, we hypothesize, since nobody's actually seen it yet, has an effect on what's called meridian or chi energy. And that chi energy connects to that thought field, that control mechanism in the, we don't know if it's in the brain or if it's in the heart or if it's in the body, but it's the control mechanism that really defines how you react to triggers, to stimulus around you. So you tap on that, you send that information in that coded information. By the tapping in that order, you're giving coded information into the control center. The control center takes that information, then it gets rid of the problem, what Roger called the perturbation. So it's like on a keyboard. If your keyboard isn't working, if you're looking at your screen, nothing's happening, and you just say, oh God, it's not working. Well, you can keep just pounding on keys in random order, and it's going to go nowhere. But if you do all control delete, used to be how you did that,
right.
It would send a coded message to the CPU, the control unit, and it would say, there's a problem. And it would say, now that you have a problem, you need to shut down, reboot, do the self-diagnostic, come back up, and now your keyboard works, your screen's working, and things happen. And all of that happens because that's built into the information in your computer, into the code that operates. With thought field therapy, we're connecting with an internal healer, internal wisdom, internal processes that we can access, and we're being led by that. So that's what makes it so wonderful, is we don't have to know exactly what the cause of the emotional upset is. We just need to know that we are willing to listen to what the internal systems are telling us about how we heal that.
We're talking to Robert L. Bray. What did you say Dr. Callahan called them?
Perturbation, mental disquietude. You have to remember, we're going back here. He started doing his original work in this in the 70s, and there wasn't any of this language. That was back at a time when people would say there's elasticity in the brain processes, in neurons. Well, back then, they said, no, your neurons are fixed, and this is all there is. So there wasn't a whole lot of good language to begin to talk about we're changing something at a fundamental level. So he had to create that kind of language. Today, if we look at where neuroscience is at, we can begin to say, oh, wow, let's look at maybe something's happening in this part of the brain. Maybe something's happening with this set of neurons. And how do you activate them? How do you get to them? Well, you could stick a needle in there. You can put some pulses through there. But the other thing you can do is, the way I think about it now, is I think through the tapping in a specific order, through the meridians in the body, we activate those cells. You know, you were talking, I think, before about the importance of activating the parasympathetic when you're overwhelmed. And this is another way to do that without having to try to do a cognitive thing or to go for a run. You know, it's a way to very quickly make changes that impact how we experience the world we're in and allow us to be able to think and to plan and to act in a way that's with love and care and concern. Roger was always into, you got to listen to what you're being told about the specific sequence. So Roger has like 12 different basic tapping patterns that he would use. Well, when they started to develop the EFT, they just said, well, there's one tapping pattern that will work for everything. I'm not going to say it doesn't work, because we've got lots of research that says that it does and it's effective. And I think that if you can't do anything else, do the EFT. But if you want to be more precise, if you want to be more effective, or if the EFT isn't working for you, then you want to look for a different tapping pattern. And you can find that either by going to Roger's work, Thought Field Therapy, and look at one of the other tapping patterns, or you can let the body speak to you through muscle testing. And you can also learn to muscle test through self-testing, and to use self-testing to create a precise pattern for yourself. And it's not that complicated stuff. We're coming into a whole new wave of psychology that includes energy psychology, that says you can do things energetically while you're trying to do things emotionally, psychologically. I've had Vietnam vets work with me, and for 40, 60 years, they've been trying to do this. And there's just some pieces that don't get resolved through cognitive or dialectic or EMDR. And when you use the energetic approach, it changes. It's like, why did you live that 40 years when there's a way to be different? So if things are working for you, keep doing them. But if things are not working for you, you need to find a different way to approach it. If anybody comes to me saying, I need help, I start with, how are you sleeping? Because that's the body's natural healing mode. The body knows how to do things if we can just get out of the way and let it do it. And that's very hard to do, especially if you're raised in small trauma kind of world where everything is terrifying, or big trauma world, big T trauma world, where everything is terrifying.
We're talking to Robert L. Bray, who can help you curb anxiety, calm chaos, and restore hope through the Thought Field Therapy Center of San Diego and at your website, which is rlbray.com. Why don't you explain that to us, the difference between big T and small T trauma?
Well, big T trauma is the original. When we started talking about post-traumatic stress, we're talking about the person next to you just got blew up, or the person next to you just started smacking you and hitting you, and you get beat up, and it's physical assault. And it's pretty clear when we've done that. You know, you've gone through a tornado. Well, that's big T trauma, right? But most of us are struggling with stuff that happens to us in a day-to-day way. And it's the violence that happens when we are children or happens to us as we get older. And by violence, I mean a violation of our basic human right. And to me, what everybody has the right to is to be safe in their body, to be able to have their own thoughts and give expression to them, to have their own feelings and give expression to them, and to be able to choose to do what you want to do as long as it's not harming another person. When we're raised in a family where that's not a possibility, where you have to give up immediately what you think because it's not safe for you to say it because somebody's going to smack you, or to give up your feelings because if you feel them and you cry, you won't perform and you're going to be in trouble. These are things that happen to us as children and begin to form how we see the world. And I refer to that primarily as small T trauma. Now, if you were raised in a family where you were being beat every day, or there was sexual abuse, that kind of thing, that's big T trauma. I don't want to downplay that. But the large T trauma is still affecting us because it's how we learn to perceive the world around us. And then those automatic response mechanisms that we hold in our brain. I mean, most of us respond without ever thinking. I'm not a cognitive therapist, because a cognitive therapist would say you have an experience, then you think about the experience, then you have a response. From my perspective, you have an experience, you have an immediate response that you don't think about, and you feel something and you react. And then you spend time thinking about it, trying to make sense out of it. But what we have to realize is that most of our reactions in terms of feelings or emotions happen without that intermediate thinking process. And then it becomes, once we're triggered into that overwhelming distress, then we can't use our better part of our brain. We can't like say, oh, here's information, let's do an analysis of it. Oh, let's look at that information and say, what's the problem? And start doing a problem-solving process, or begin to recognize that there's ways for you to be able to say, oh, okay, I don't want to do that again, so let's plan a different course of action. Okay. And then you can actually take that action and make your life differently. But that only happens when the cognitive part of your brain is online. And when you're reacting to emotional distress, pretty much you're not online. You're just trying to stay alive or to stay loved.
Does everybody get that? When you're in a freaked out mode, when you are stressed, when you are triggered, you can't think. You don't have access to the best part of your decision-making brain. Once you get that, like you really, really get that, and then you can say when you're freaked out, I'm freaked out right now. I have got to do something to calm down so I can reach that other part of my brain. Robert L. Bray is our guest. I wanted to say, listening to you speak about trauma, when we hear something or see something and we have a reaction, an immediate reaction or a thought or a feeling, oftentimes I'm thinking that's based on some really old information.
The thing I want to be clear with you about is that when I'm working with people who are experiencing traumatic stress triggers, what's going on is they're no longer in the present. When somebody has a flashback, okay, we all have memories. I can think about my wedding and I can pull a picture of that up in my head and see my wife and my family and all of that. And I can feel good about, remember the feeling I had when it happened. I can feel good about what I still carry with me from that. And then when I'm done thinking about that, remembering it, I take the picture and I put it back on the shelf. Now, the problem is that when you start to talk about trauma, when you are trauma activated, you're no longer looking at a picture from the past. You're in the past. You're experiencing it as though it's happening now. And that then is overwhelming. And that's the piece where you lose it, because you're right back there in a life and death situation, a love or no love situation, and you're going to react as though it's happening. So what we do with the tapping is it's a quick way to bring us back into the present moment. Now, you can do it with breath work, you can do it with behavioral stuff, but the tapping is so quick and easy. Then it brings you back to this moment, and you can say, oh yeah, that did happen to me 20 years ago, and it was horrible. And you can remember how horrible it was. And you can say, but it's not happening today. And then you can say, all right, well, what do I want to do today? And how does that experience in the past inform what I want for today? And how does it take me forward to the future? Not in fear, but in a planned, acting way to be of service to myself and the people I love.
Robert L. Bray is our guest. We're talking about thought field therapy. And I have never heard this phrase, a love or no love.
Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Oh, man. Oh, man. It just boils it right down. Like that thing, that event, it was either a love event or it was a no love event.
And you see, and that's the thing about the family constellation stuff. I heard you talking about that a couple of sessions ago. But it's that idea that within that family constellation, we're all trying to get to the place where we get to love the people we want to love in the way we want to love them and to be loved. If you don't get that, then I think violence has occurred. I think if you don't have love, there's a violation of your basic right, and there's an injustice. You know, justice to me is very simple. Justice is served when people receive what they are due. And what do people do? To me, it's love and care and concern. You know, we can talk about equity under the law and the courts and all that other stuff, but the more important justice that connects to us, I think, in a way that's inbred, it's not learned, but we just know justice when we see it, is that people are being served in terms of getting what they need. Now, everybody needs different things. Given who you are, what your character is, what your life has been, what your experience is, what is your need for love, or what is your need for activity or support in terms of education or research, or what makes it work for you?
Robert L. Bray, visit rlbray.com. Who took me through a Callahan tapping session, the original TFT, thought field therapy, and now I'll share it with you. The first thing you would do is think of a non-love situation, a memory that has a negative emotional charge on a scale of 0 to 10. It doesn't have to be the worst thing in the world. And then with that in mind, you would begin tapping on the side of your hand, on the pinky side of your hand, either hand, where you would make a karate chop. I actually use one side of my hand to tap the other side of my hand. I don't know if that's regulation. From the side of your hand, you would begin to tap under your nose, tapping about a dozen times in each location. The next spot, travel right up your nose, so to speak, to the beginning of one of your eyebrows. Doesn't matter which eyebrow, but you want to go to the beginning of the eyebrow, the inside, not the outside, and you tap right there. The fourth position is under the eye, right under the pupil, on that little orbital bone there. You would tap there. The next tapping point on the Callahan method is the one that always feels sore on me. It's under your armpit, on your side, like right where your bra strap would come across if you wore a bra, just down like three fingers from your armpit. Tap either side there, under your armpit, on your side. From here, we go to the collarbone. You feel that collarbone? Go 1 inch over, 1 inch down. And there's a little notch right there. It's like a dip. So on that dip, you would tap 12 times. Now, this was a new position for me, but this is the Callahan method. The next position is to tap on your index finger below the nail bed towards the thumb. So that little piece of real estate there, between the last knuckle of your finger, under your nail bed, towards the thumb. From there, we go back to the collarbone. Feel the collarbone go across 1 inch, down 1 inch, to that little dip. And now we're going to our pinky finger under the nail bed. Pinky finger under the nail bed, after the last knuckle, under the pinky nail bed, towards the thumb side. Got the positions? All right, let's take a breath and tap. Side of the hand, under the nose, beginning of the eyebrow, either side, under the eye, on the orbital bone, on your side, under your armpit, collarbone, an inch over, an inch down, index finger just below the nail, but towards the thumb, back to the collarbone, and then pinky finger. Above the last knuckle on the thumb side. Pinky finger under the nail, but towards the thumb. And there you have it. TFT, the original Callahan method. Still so much to explore with muscle testing and energy psychology. You can visit energypsych.org. Reach out to Robert L. Bray at rlbray.com. And what would happen is after you tap, you'd go back to that non-love thought or memory, and you realized if it was at like a 7 or an 8, maybe you'd notice it was a little bit lower, the charge in that memory. Really interesting stuff. Thank you, Robert L. Bray, for being a wonderful guest today. So much to explore. We're brought to you today by Nissan of Yorktown Heights. Visit nissanofyorktownheights.com. We'll be right back with the thought for the day.
Attention! Nissan of Yorktown Heights has new Nissan Rogues for as low as $199 a month with $3,995 down. Choose from a huge selection of over 500 new and pre-owned vehicles that all include 1 year or 15,000 miles of scheduled maintenance at no charge. Plus, act now and don't miss out on financing as low as 0% APR for up to 36 months. VIN BW 356039. Restrictions apply. Not all will qualify. See dealer for details. Offer expires 3/31/24. Nissan of Yorktown Heights. You'll love this place.
Hi, it's Casey. Thanks for tuning in to Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show. We had a great free Zoom the other night, all about sleep. Join our next free Zoom when we talk doshas and Ayurvedic medicine on Monday, April 8th. Get details at caseysplace.com. The big aha I'm taking away from Robert Bray today was the phrase he mentioned about a non-love situation. No matter what somebody's face looks like, no matter what words are coming out of their mouth, you know whether there is love or no love. Our thought for the day is from the writer Stephen Chbosky, who wrote The Perks of Being a Wallflower and said, "We accept the love we think we deserve." Thanks for listening. Shine on. You've been listening to Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week. It's your time to shine on.